You're listening to Inspiration Sounds, and this is episode 61. I'm Budsamudra Knox. Thanks for joining me. Well, folks, today we have three stories lined up for you from the pen of Sri Chinmoy, stories that he would often hear from his family members or from friends and relatives as a child growing up in Bengal, India. So I wanted to start today with a little poem that I found from Sri Chinmoy as well. I came across this during the week and I found it to be quite helpful for me, and it says, "Unless you aspire, you will always be compelled to remain a prisoner of bewilderment." This week I found myself bewildered. So this poem came in quite handy, and for me I think it means trying to bring out my good qualities, in a sense to try and help my outer life. So that's just a little poem to start off today's show. So anyway, I'm so happy you could join me. It's a fine day here in New Zealand. I've got some bread in the oven. Believe me, it's true. I'm not lying. And sit back and relax. Put your feet up and listen to more stories from the heart of the world. I'm Budsamudra. The Telltale Plants, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. A young man had just graduated from medical school. Fortunately, his family was quite wealthy, and he was able to open up a clinic of his own. Outside the clinic, he put up a big sign saying, "Qualified Physician," and listing all his degrees and diplomas. The very day the clinic opened, the doctor was standing in the doorway when he saw a most respectable-looking man approaching. The man was very well-dressed. The doctor was so happy. He took it as a sign of good fortune that his first patient should be someone very wealthy. He watched the man approach the clinic and read the sign very carefully. Then the man looked at the outside of the clinic itself. All of a sudden, the man turned around and started walking away. The doctor ran after him and cried out, "Why are you leaving? You have come to the right place. I am the doctor who is mentioned on the sign here, and my clinic, it is now open. You can rest assured that I will do the needful for you. I am very well qualified, very well. Please come back for a consultation."
I was coming to your place to get treatment," said the man, "but I am leaving because of certain plants that you have placed right outside the door of your clinic."
"Yes, I placed them there for decoration."
"May I ask when you last watered them?" "In case you have not noticed, all the plants are dying, Doctor. They are dying because of your negligence and for no other reason. You could have saved them if you had given them water, but you did not care for the lives of these innocent plants. Why then should I expect you to care for my human life? No, you are indeed a horrible doctor."
"People will come to me so that I can give them life. They are not coming to see some stupid plant decorations."
At this point, the man became really angry.
"You are the last one to be qualified to care for human lives. Take care of your plants first, then you can think of human beings. I am disgusted by your callous attitude. You have no genuine concern or compassion for God's creation. Otherwise, you would immediately have seen that your own plants were dying."
Then the man turned and left without another word. The Theory of Cat Illumination, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. This story is about a spiritual master who used to roam from place to place. He did not care to have disciples, for he believed that disciples only create problems. In his wanderings, he came to a particular village where people started following him. They wanted to offer him their devotion, but he said,
"Oh, no, no, I do not want your devotion. I only want to pray and meditate in peace. If you can spare a small hut, then I will be happy to stay here for some time. I want to remain in solitude, so that I can pray and meditate. While I am praying and meditating, I shall definitely pray to God to bless you and your village. This much I can offer, but I cannot accept disciples." The villagers were so happy that the spiritual master had agreed to stay with them for some time. They wanted to give him a big house, but he would not hear of it.
"Oh, no, no, I want to lead the life of a hermit. For that, I need only a small hut."
The villagers complied with his request. Soon the spiritual master took up residence in a small hut on the outskirts of the village and immersed himself in prayer and meditation. One young man from the village remained near the master day in and day out. He told the master,
"I want to serve you. I want to serve you unconditionally."
"If you bring me food from time to time, well and good. Otherwise, I will depend on the kindness of the villagers. But I will not go out. I want to remain inside this hut."
"I will look after all your earthly needs. I want to be your disciple. Each day, I will eat at my parents' place, and then I will bring food for you. After you have eaten, I will stay here and pray and meditate in your presence for a few hours before going home."
The spiritual master accepted the services of this young man. But to the other villagers he said,
"Please, please, please do not bother me. I have not yet realized God. Once I have realized God, I shall really be able to help you. But now is the time for me to pray and meditate."
The villagers obeyed the master and allowed him to live in solitude. Meanwhile, the young man was serving the master most devotedly and faithfully. One day the spiritual master had a vision. A luminous figure came to him and said,
"I am your guru. I am now in the Himalayas. You should come to the Himalayas and pray and meditate most seriously."
Immediately, the spiritual master decided to leave the hut. He said to the young man,
"I must go. My call has come. I had a vision of a most luminous being, and I really feel that he is my guru. He has asked me to go and join him in the Himalayas, so I shall be leaving this place."
The young man begged and begged the master not to go, but the master was determined. When the villagers came to know about the master's decision, they also begged him to change his mind, but to no avail. He told them,
"I have got the call. I must go."
"In your absence, master, I would like to preserve this place, this little hut where you have prayed and meditated for so many hours. Will you allow me?"
"Do whatever you like. I cannot think of these things right now. I am getting ready for my journey."
Shortly afterwards, the master set out for the Himalayas and all the villagers bade him a sad farewell. The young man lovingly preserved the hut. Every evening he would hold a puja there, and many people used to come and pray and meditate. After a long journey, the spiritual master reached the Himalayas. He found a cave, and there he stayed for many years in deep meditation. He did not meet his guru, but he felt that his guru was inwardly helping him and guiding him. He was longing for his God realization, but although he saw light everywhere, and he was full of inner joy, God did not bless him with realization. After a long time, the figure of his guru appeared before him once more. This time the guru said,
"Now I would like you to go back to your hermitage."
After the figure had vanished, the master said to himself, "I am no longer a hermit. I no longer have the hermitage." Then he remembered the young man.
"Oh, perhaps my disciple is still there.
He promised that he would preserve it. Anyway, let me go, since the command has come again. After so many years, my guru has appeared before me again, and I must listen to him." So the master left the Himalayas and made his way on foot back to the village. By this time, he was quite an old man. At last, he arrived at the place, but it was difficult for him to recognize it as the same village, for it was now thriving and very prosperous. He could not understand how the village had improved to such an extent. The master went in the direction of his former hut, and there he saw a crowd of people. To his astonishment, he saw that some people were holding up cats and announcing a particular price for each one. The spiritual master could not believe his eyes and ears. People were selling cats, and other people were eagerly buying them. The spiritual master could not understand this strange behavior, and he wondered why it was happening so close to his former hut. Was this the place to sell cats? As he approached the crowd, he heard people calling out things like,
"Oh, this one is so strong! This one is healthy! Oh, this one will do better meditation!"
The spiritual master was so puzzled. How could cats practice meditation? That was really a mystery. Then he decided to look for his disciple. Perhaps his disciple could give him some kind of explanation. But the disciple was not to be found in the master's old hut. The master came to learn that the disciple now had a very nice house. There, he invited the villagers to come and pray and meditate in comfort. He himself was leading a very comfortable and luxurious life. The master inquired where the disciple's house was and went there. As soon as he saw his old master, the disciple showed him tremendous respect and love. Although this disciple was now rich and prosperous, his sincere devotion came to the fore when he saw his master standing at his door. When the master saw that his disciple was indulging in a life of luxury, he became disgusted.
"What are you doing here?"
Master, please forgive me. When you left, I practiced the spiritual life most sincerely for a few years, and then temptation entered into me. I wanted to have worldly possessions. But now that I have seen you again, I will once more start leading a life of prayer and meditation. I do not need this life anymore."
"Do you know anything about the cats? Why are people selling them near my hut? That is a spiritual place, not a market for cats. And why are they saying that the cats will do excellent meditation? How can a cat meditate?"
Now it was the disciple's turn to look puzzled.
"Master, do you not remember? You had a cat. You used to play with the cat. And when you were about to meditate, you used to take a piece of rope and tie the cat to a post inside the hut. Then, when your meditation was over, again you used to play with the cat. I remember it so clearly. Master, I told the villagers that if they also kept a cat, they would have very high meditations. You used to have such high meditations after playing with your cat. I felt that just because you had such affection for your cat, God showed you his boundless affection through your meditation. I have looked after your cat all these years, Master. I keep it by my side when I meditate, and I have had such high meditations. I know it is all because of the cat. I told the villagers my experiences, and that is why they all want to keep cats. I really saw how high and how deep you used to go in your meditation, and I realized it was all due to your cat."
At that moment, a cat strolled into the room. It was simply enormous.
"I am seeing your cat, but I would like to see my cat once more. Please show it to me."
"Master, can you not recognize your own cat? I have fed it and taken care of it for so many years.
This cannot be my cat. It is so huge. Look at it.
Master, I assure you, this is your beloved cat. I have such affection and fondness for it. But if you would like to have it back, I am ready to give it to you here and now. I will get another cat to help me in my meditation.
You can kindly keep the cat. I do not need it. For so many long years I have tried to realize God. Now I see why I have not succeeded. I was so deeply attached to the cat. It is no wonder that I failed. I do not need a cat to enter into my highest meditation. In the Himalayas, I had very high meditations. I have learned my lesson. Now I understand why my guru asked me to come back to this village. I had to free myself from this attachment to my cat. I shall not stay here any longer. I shall return to the Himalayas, and this time I am determined to realize God without any cat, without any bondage, without any attachment. Alas, so many years I have wasted because I had this kind of affection and attachment for a cat. Now I know that if you are not attached to anything, you will realize God sooner than if you pay all attention to a cat or a dog instead of your own prayer and meditation. You can have pets, but if you are really attached to them, then God realization will always remain a far cry.
Use Life Properly, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. There was once a real miser. He collected all his wealth and kept it underground. He dug a hole in his own backyard, and inside the hole he placed all his most valuable things. So much gold, so many pieces of jewelry, items of pure silver and so forth. Once a day, he would go into the backyard and uncover the hole only to watch and admire what he had amassed. One day, a thief happened to observe the miser go to his backyard and uncover the hole. That night, the thief returned with his tools and dug up all the miser's precious possessions. Nothing remained of the miser's hoard. The following morning, when the miser went to look at his wealth as usual, he discovered his loss. Immediately he started screaming and shedding bitter tears.
I do not understand. How has this happened? How is it possible?
When the neighbors heard him screaming, they came running and inquired,
What has happened?
The miser was wringing his hands most pathetically.
Every day I used to come at a particular time and uncover this hole. It was my secret hiding place. Inside I kept my gold and other valuables. I did not spend anything. I was only hoarding and hoarding it. And now, look, look, it is all gone!
For years you have never spent anything. Your only joy has been in your supply of gold. But what is life for? Life is for enjoyment. We earn money and then we buy things. When we use the things we have purchased, we get joy. In your case, you get joy only by seeing your gold, not by using it. Life has to be utilized to do something good. Oh, you fool, you old fool, you did not use your money power to give joy to your life. Your whole life consisted in watching your money grow. I have an idea. From now on, continue to come here every day. Since you were enamored of your gold and you became happy by seeing the gold and not using it, you should come here every day and watch the hole and try to get the same joy. As you could not use the gold, even so, you cannot use the hole. But you can try to get the same joy from watching the empty hole as you did when it was full of gold. The gold has been removed, but the hole itself does not move. So now, you have to come to the hole.
The neighbor was very wise. Life is like that. If we do not use life properly, if we are not on time every day, then we shall fail. Always, life
is for activity. Activity. If you have anything, appreciate it and utilize it. If you have a flower, appreciate the beauty of the flower. Then give it to your friend. By using the flower, it becomes really perfect. But if you just see the flower and enjoy its beauty, tomorrow, it will all fade away. Life is always movement, movement, movement. If I have something, then it must go from me to you, and from you it has to go to somebody else. You've been listening to Inspiration Sounds, the podcast on Radio Sri Chinmoy. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that. Those three stories, there was a lot of wisdom in those. Woo! One can learn a lot from these old stories. One can almost see our own situations and our own lives reflected in the characters that Sri Chinmoy has put in these particular stories. So I know I can. I won't tell you which one, though. Join me next week for more stories from the heart of the world, from the pen of Sri Chinmoy. If you want to read these stories for yourself, they're online at srichinmoylibrary.com. There you will find them. And I do hope you have a great week. Stay warm, stay safe, and remember to always have fun. I'm Budsamudra. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.